T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. We got a busy day today. AMA, that's at 11:30. So get those questions in, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Spike Eskin will join us today at noon. His perspective on the Ben Simmons situation, the Sixers, as they start their new season. Ray Dittinger, 12:45. And, of course, calls throughout the program. All right, let's talk to our next guest, who is our first guest of the day. Does a phenomenal job covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. You can follow his work at Shiel Kapadia on Twitter, and we got a lot of Eagles issues to talk to Shiel about today. How you doing, Shiel?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, buddy.
Doing well.
Shiel, let's start with the quarterback Hurts, because we talked a lot about the head coach, and rightfully so, and his miscues. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, I watch these games, and every week, Shiel, I say to myself, Jalen Hurts is not going to be, nor should he be, the long-term answer or even the next year answer for the Eagles at quarterback. What is your perspective of what we've seen and what it means moving forward?
Yeah, I thought he really struggled on Thursday night. You know, the issues you see seem to sort of crop up every week. And whether that's accuracy, whether that's not seeing the field well, you know, one thing I've been really disappointed in is that when he leaves the pocket, which, you know, is okay. I don't go crazy when a guy bails from the pocket too early if that guy is keeping his eyes downfield and making plays downfield. But he's not doing that. You know, when he leaves the pocket, so often it's like a 5-yard scramble or a throwaway or an incompletion. And so that to me has been disappointing. So I hear what you're saying, Joe. I mean, I'm sure a lot of Eagles fans sat in front of the TV Sunday, and you're watching guys like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott. I mean, you can really name, you know, 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks who it feels like they are just lifting their, you know, the entire offense, their entire team on their shoulders. And certainly you've seen nothing close to that with Jalen Hurts so far.
Is Hurts showing signs of regression?
I don't think so. You know, it's a week-to-week thing. He's looked like, you know, for the most part, he's looked similar most of the season. Now, of course, you're going to have a good game here and a bad game there. But I don't see anything yet that suggests, wow, he's really taken a huge step backwards or anything like that.
All right, sure. Let's talk about this Minnie Mouse or Mickey Mouse offense, whatever the heck. I guess it's Minnie Mouse more than Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse would be a better offense. This is Minnie Mouse. When you watch the film of what the Eagles are doing on offense, does it make any sense to you from a purpose standpoint? I mean, what do you think Sirianni's trying to do, and why do you think he doesn't do other things more often?
Yeah, it looks like sort of a series of plays that doesn't have any cohesiveness, where it's not, hey, you know, you look at the great offensive coordinators in the NFL, they'll run something in the first quarter to set up something that they can come back to in the third quarter in a high leverage spot. They'll be taking information early in the game and saying, oh, okay, this is what the defense did when we gave them this look. We're going to come back and hit them with this later in the game. I mean, you don't see those things with the Eagles offense. I mean, it's very vanilla. It's very stale. They're in shotgun 93% of the time. That's the highest rate in the NFL. That's higher than those Chip Kelly offenses. And what that does is it makes your run game more predictable, because if you have a running back offset to one side in the shotgun, most of the time the play is going to be run to the opposite side. I mean, I remember opponents calling the Eagles out for that during the Chip Kelly era. It doesn't allow you to get under center with these hard play actions, where you can get Jalen Hurts outside the pocket on bootlegs and allow him to maybe hit on some plays downfield. It's very all or nothing. It's either a wide receiver screen or it's a shot downfield, an isolation route, one-on-one, a go ball down the sideline. There's kind of nothing in between. And I got to tell you, in that game Thursday night, it felt like Devin White, the Bucs linebacker. I was wondering if there was some sort of headset malfunction where he was actually getting the Eagles play calls before they ran the play, because I mean, he knew exactly what was coming on these RPOs and a lot of these other plays. And so you look at all those things together, and yeah, there are a lot of concerns with how this offense is operating.
Have you ever seen a pro offense running the ball this infrequently, Shiel?
Well, I have, but I haven't seen one with a passing game that's not good, you know. So if you look at it, you know, if you look around the league and look at the teams that have passed the ball a lot, you know, you'll look at the Chiefs, you'll look at the Bills, the Chargers, the Bucks. I mean, think of the quarterbacks I'm mentioning there: Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. These are MVP caliber quarterbacks. And so, to me, you know, given the way the rules are in the NFL, they have made passing king. And so if you have a quarterback who can pass the ball really well, like, I'm not one of these guys who after every game looks at the box score and says they should have run the ball more. If you have a great quarterback and a great passing game, I'm fine throwing the ball all over the field. But you don't have that here. And so that's why it doesn't make sense. And to the contrary, you have a quarterback who can be a legitimate weapon with his legs in the designed run game, and you're not making any use of that. And so to me, that's just a bad job of coaching. That's a bad job of adapting your scheme to personnel.
So let's try to turn this on its head. What are the Eagles doing well?
Oh, my gosh. What? I'll give you one. They are limiting explosive plays on defense. They have allowed only 15 plays of 20-plus yards the entire season. That's the second fewest in the entire league. And so that is one thing they've done well. And then, you know, what I was just talking about offensively, if you look at just the efficiency numbers, you know, per play, they're actually running the ball really well. I mean, like a top five running game. And so that makes what I was just talking about even more baffling. It's not that the run game isn't working. The run game actually on a per play basis has looked really good. It's just not a part of the offense.
Which Eagles players are playing the best?
Which Eagles players are playing? I mean, you're hitting me. These are hard-hitting questions, Sean. I'm not used to, you know, normally they're not this difficult. I would say Jason Kelce has played well offensively. I think Devontae Smith, I mean, to get Devontae Smith 4 targets in a game, to me, is ludicrous. I don't understand how you don't just have a section of your play sheet labeled with his number 6, and say we're going to go to these often. But I think on film, he's played well. He separates. I think he needs more opportunities defensively. I think Avante Maddox may be in the best stretch of football he's played in his career. I think he's put together a really strong stretch of 2 or 3 games here. And Javon Hargrave, you know, that wasn't his best game Thursday night. But if we're talking about the first 6 games as a whole, I mean, this guy has been an all-pro caliber defensive tackle. So, you know, I guess I was able to come up with some of those for you.
Why was it not Javon Hargrave's best game? Is it because of what the Bucs were doing? Were they focusing on him more?
No, I just think the Bucs have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and I thought they took it to him a little bit. He just did not win as many of those one-on-one matchups as he had previously. And Tom Brady, just, you know, he helps his offensive line so much by just that internal clock he has is unbelievable, where he knows exactly when to get rid of the football. He knows when he might be under pressure. He knows when he can hold it longer. And so I will give him credit for that.
Shiel Kapadia with us here. Of course, Shiel has broken down, by the time he talks to us every Wednesday, the game, the prior game, dissected the coach's tape. Shiel, you know, you touched on something earlier. The Eagles are avoiding giving up big plays, which is good. But John and I believe they're doing that at the cost of a lot of stuff underneath. Runs, short passes. Obviously, Brady feasted on them. When you watch the film, do you think that they are schematically defending the big play too much, and and they're just getting, you know, death by a thousand stabbings every game?
Yeah, it's a matter of philosophy. And, you know, I was at Ravens camp this summer and got to interview John Harbaugh, and he was talking about the old Jim Johnson principles. And I said, what's something from Jim Johnson that really sticks with you that you integrate into this defense? And he said Jim Johnson would always preach forcing a quick outcome. He said that was his defensive philosophy. That meant showing different pressure looks. That meant confusing the quarterbacks. That meant blitzing. You know what? If you give up a big play here and there, that's okay. You're going to make up for it. And if you watch that Ravens-Chargers game on Sunday, Justin Herbert was completely confused by the Ravens' defensive game plan. And so this is a totally different approach that the Eagles are employing. Now, other teams are employing the same approach. You know, the Los Angeles Chargers, there are some other teams that look at it and say, no, we just want to not give up the explosive play. But it is predictable. It's frustrating to watch as a viewer. I think it's frustrating. It might be frustrating for players to play in, because you think of defensive players, I mean, they're built on aggression, physicality. Right. And here you're kind of saying, just sit back. I mean, it's the opposite of forcing a quick outcome. And you see some of those checkdowns that the Bucs had on Thursday night, you know, little checkdowns to Leonard Fournette. Well, those are going for 8, 10, 12, 14 yards. Like, you know, you're not going to win that way either. And so quarterback play has gotten so good with some of these guys that they can be efficient. And they can, you know, when you're giving up three 70-yard play drives in the first half, it's tough for me to look at that and say, well, the defense didn't play that bad. So I would agree with you. I think there needs to be certainly more variety. I mean, they're blitzing at such a low rate. They're playing zone coverage at such a high rate. So I don't have an issue, you know, totally with the overall philosophy. But I do think you need to add a little bit more variety, a little bit more aggressiveness to this defense situationally.
Are any of these linebackers meeting NFL standards?
No, not starting caliber. You know, if they're backups, that's fine. You know, Davion Taylor, I thought, looked pretty confused in this game. Alex Singleton, you know, is playing worse than he played last year. They're so vulnerable to play action. Those checkdowns I mentioned, that, you know, those are supposed to be, what, 4 or 5 yard completions. Because of the linebacker play, those are turning into first downs almost every time. So, you know, it's absolutely an area where you have to look at it and say, you know, this isn't coaching. This is kind of personnel. This is the talent they have on the roster.
Hey, Sean, let's move to the next game. Obviously, it's a pretty important one. If the Eagles are going to make something of the season, not getting into a 2-5 hole matters. The Raiders. John and I are both surprised. The Eagles, 3.5-point underdog. The Raiders are what, in your opinion? I mean, they're 4-2, but what kind of squad are they? And are you surprised it's only a 3.5-point point spread right now?
Well, they're an efficient and an explosive offense. Derek Carr is pushing the ball downfield more than he ever has in his career. I mean, they lit up the Broncos defense last week. I think he had 7 completions of 20-plus yards. And so that has been the big change with the Raiders offense this year. I think Derek Carr is a guy where he's a high-variance player. If you can pressure him, he's going to be someone you look at and say, all right, this isn't a great quarterback at all. But, man, if he gets time, he absolutely has the accuracy and the smarts to carve up an opposing defense. So that's what sticks out with the Raiders offensively. Defensively, you know, they're pretty vanilla. They're going to play a lot of zone coverage with a single high safety under Gus Bradley. They're not going to blitz a lot. So it's a matter of whether you can handle their defensive line. Guys like Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, those guys have been playing well this year. So the line doesn't totally surprise me. You know, I thought maybe it would be like a point higher, but the Raiders are 4-2. They've played well. I don't think anyone looks at them as a great football team. And I also think the betting markets in Vegas, there's probably some confusion about how do you handle this when a team's coach resigned, you know, a couple weeks back. How are they going to respond? They responded well last week, but is that going to last?
Good stuff. At Shield Kapadia on Twitter for all of Shield's work. It is top-notch, as always. Shield, thanks so much, pal.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, there he is. 215-592-9494. At 11:30, we get to AMA. Also, we'll rock all the calls. I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I think Joel did not help the Sixers yesterday. Ben hurt them the most, but Joel hurt them a little bit as well because they've got a strategy, and he's undermining it. We'll talk about that more up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, basketball season is back last night. Of course, the local squad in action tonight, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. To celebrate NBA tip-off, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers enhanced odds, and these are remarkable odds. 75-1 odds on any team to win tonight. 75-1 odds? All you got to do is pick the team. Pick the best team playing tonight against the easiest matchup. There you go. Lock it in with FanDuel Sportsbook at 75-1 odds. Now's the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. And download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, signing up using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER always gets you the best odds and the best deal, including this one, 75-1 odds on any team to win tonight. That's promo code HAMMER. And make every moment more this NBA season with FanDuel Sportsbook. All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. I laid it out before. I'll say it again quickly and then right to the phones. Well, Ben Simmons is so far and away the most culpable in all of this mess, and he's a complete joke and a fool. I thought what Joel Embiid did yesterday and what he had done in prior days did not help matters. When we found out yesterday that Joel had not talked to Ben, I thought that was really a bad sign of leadership from Joel. And I know I'm asking a lot for Joel because Ben has basically, you know, been spitting on the Sixers. But Sixers have a strategy here, and it's to try to use Ben until they trade him, and it's to trade him for the most value they can. And I think Joel has undermined both of those points. He didn't talk to Ben upon Ben's return, and yesterday he's basically like, I'm done with that guy. And, like, that does not help Daryl Morey's strategy to try to get the most out of what you can for Ben. And it doesn't help Joel's chances to maximize winning a title. I mean, that's the objective. The objective is to win a championship. And
Ben won't talk. Ben won't even allow them to visit him when they tried to go talk sense into him. Yet it's on Joel.
Yeah, Joel's got
it. It's not Ben's job to fix his trade value. He told the Sixers that. Now you're telling me it's Joel's job.
There's no question
to fix Ben's trade value.
Joel hurt the Sixers yesterday. There's no doubt in my mind. Let's go to Tone in the barbershop. What's up, Tone?
Joe.
Hey, buddy.
You got an EMT or anything like nearby or anything? You know, take your temperature.
Tone.
See if you bump your head or whatever.
Tone, you and I are personal friends. I will be hurt if you're coming after me.
Joe, I'm hurt. I'm hurt by hearing what you're saying because I take you as a knowledgeable sports fan and all that what you do. You don't just say things off the cuff.
No.
But how in the world? Okay. It's all Joe's fault. All right.
No,
fine.
No, no. I didn't say it's all. I didn't know. I mean, it's Ben's fault. But Joel's got a piece of this. Tone, he didn't talk to his teammate upon his teammate's return. How is that good leadership?
Joe, the man asks for a trade after the Atlanta game. Mm-hmm. He disappears. He goes to London. He comes back. They fly out to see him. He won't see him. They try to call him on the phone. He's like, I'm blocking everybody's call. He comes to Philadelphia in the middle of the night, still won't talk to anybody, shows up at practice, still won't talk to anybody.
I'm asking a lot of the guy. I get it. I'm asking a lot of Joel.
No, it's not about asking a lot of anybody. Joe, in all of this time, up till yesterday, has said, we love him, we want him back, we think we can win with him. Did he or did he not say all these things up till yesterday?
He took some shots at Ben from time to time, but for the most part, he said we're a better team.
Okay, they were taking shots at each other back and forth.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he was playing defense because he was taking so many shots. The man came out and said, "I can't play with you." Was that Joe saying that to Ben, or Ben saying that to Joe?
Well, yeah, Ben was saying, "I don't know if I can. I don't want to play with you."
All right, can't, don't, won't, shoulda, woulda, coulda, all the same. But yet and still, Joe is supposed to come out and say, well, he did show up.
But Tone, here's the point. And listen, you're making a great case. No question. But just hear me out on this, Tone. The Sixers still have this guy to trade.
Okay.
And what they get back for him matters a lot. It's not insignificant. It matters. And it could be the difference between a championship or not. And that could be the difference between Joel having a championship or not. And I just think that what Joel said publicly yesterday made it a lot harder for Daryl Morey to get what we'd like to see the Sixers get for Ben.
Okay, let's address that.
Go ahead.
What Morey wants to get for Ben to help them win a championship. Okay, let's address that.
Go.
First of all, they can't do worse than lose in the second round because that's the best they've done with Ben. That's number one. Number two, Morey trying to get the best that he can get for Ben. So everybody, including Joe, who's the leader of the team, should play nice. Don't say nothing discouraging about Ben, even though he's come in there, isolated himself in practice when he came back, but still overlooked that, play nice, and yet and still, how can you get to where you want to be to trade him when he's doing this where everybody sees it? If Joe never said anything yesterday, did his trade value go up or down?
Well, yesterday it went down on the actions of Ben's actions. I mean, that's – listen, Tony, it's a thought-provoking call. There's no question that Ben Simmons yesterday hurt the Sixers' leverage in trade value. You know, there's no doubt about that. But I think Joel had a piece of that also. I do. I mean, the other general managers are now very in tune with something that they might not have known, which is that it's probably impossible for Joel and Ben to coexist. And that was said by Joel, essentially. I'm done with that, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It was a dumb thing to say. Dan and Cherry Hill. Dan, you're on WIP.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Dan.
I want to start by saying, first off, Joe, I don't know what you got into last night, what kind of drugs you're on. And I agree with you all the time. I agree with you. But come on, man. You cannot blame Embiid for a damn thing that went on yesterday. Simmons caused this himself. He was suspended.
Absolutely,
from the team.
Ben caused it.
But him being suspended alone ruined the trade value. Not what Embiid said.
See, but
we already know how these players feel about Embiid. They're tired of him. The other GMs aren't stupid. They're not dumb. And but basketball,
you can
do whatever the hell you want to do. Whatever you want to do. These teams will take you.
But Dan, here's a whole other part of this. I said it earlier. Let me bring this back to the table here. There's still a real chance Ben Simmons is going to play in games with the Sixers. I know a lot of people.
Slim to none, but yeah.
I mean, Dan, he's scheduled to practice with them tomorrow. We'll see if he shows up. We'll see if he tries. If he doesn't, they'll suspend him.
We're tired of this. We're fed up with this.
I'm
thing.
Fed
you
up with it, too.
Embiid fed up with it.
I know.
That guy didn't even get a question asked about basketball.
I know.
He just asked about Ben Simmons. Every player's probably
I know, but Dan, but this goes back to a fundamental thing I keep saying, and people aren't taking it in. Ben Simmons is the Sixers' third best player. It's a fact. He wasn't last year in that one series.
Yes.
Okay, he's their third best player.
He's one of the best players in the NBA, I think. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's one of the best. I think he's one of the top.
He can be.
I think he's a top 30-ish player. Until they trade him, I want to utilize his skills on the court.
Yes, so do I. I agree with you yesterday.
Okay. So when Joel and, like, we all know things get rough sometimes and hairy and difficult and sticky and whatever term you want to say. And the way Joel handled it yesterday, I don't think makes it easier to bring Ben back. I mean, Ben could be with Joel tomorrow. Ben yesterday said, I'm done with that man. It was a dumb thing to say. It was dumb.
Yes.
It was dumb.
I think he's just tired.
Of course he's tired of it.
It can't get no worse than what it already is.
With you.
It just can't. I don't think it can get any worse. This is what we got, and this is what we got to deal with until he's gone.
But Dan, here's where I think it can get worse, I think. If Ben doesn't play for the Sixers for, let's just say, 4 months, and they don't trade him for 4 months, I'm telling you guys, I know people are excited about Tyrese Maxey, but, like, chill it out, please. Okay? Ben Simmons is a multiple-time All-Star. Tyrese Maxey is a backup. And until people understand that, you're going to misevaluate the situation.
I think the way we're trying to trade him, I want something in return. That's just how I am. I want something in return for this man. I don't want to give him away for nothing. I want something in return, whether it's 3 first-rounders and an All-Star, whatever it is. I want something that's going to be valuable.
All right, Dan, give me a great movie, Dad. Who do you have?
I would say Denzel Washington and John Q.
You got it, buddy. All right, Dan, appreciate the phone call. Listen, some thought-provoking calls right there. This is not an easy situation, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear what I'm saying, but I believe it. That's all I can tell you.
I can't imagine what you would expect him to say yesterday when he's asked repeatedly by the media, hey, you know, what's going on?
I know, it's tough.
What's going on? Give me an example of what Joel has said all the right things. And his focus was, I'm focused on the guys who are here.
Yeah.
That was the right stuff. But then yesterday, Ben goes out there and undermines the practice.
I know.
As a leader of that team, it is Joel's responsibility to not to, you know, downplay that, not to brush it aside. As the leader of the team, you need to set an example like, hey, this will not be acceptable. We can't have guys doing this.
I agree, John.
And
I,
so
I agree
he's
with that.
Towing that line.
Yeah, but I wish he had – I agree with you on that, John. I totally do. I like that he had his other teammates back. Hey, these guys have been here. Chemistry, camaraderie, like whatever those – good. And I think a scolding of Ben publicly is fine. Like, hey, this was unacceptable. We can't have this. But give me the pivot to but we could have him back, and he could help our basketball team. And I still hope – listen, hey, guys.
And he said that.
He could get traded.
He has said that.
But he didn't say it. Yesterday he said, I'm done with that, man.
Yesterday he's supposed to say that.
It's
after
tough.
Ben
it's,
blows up
I know.
And refuses to participate.
John?
The guy who refused to answer his calls the entire offseason.
I know.
And when he finally showed up, continued to stay aloof, looking the other way, doing his own thing, not participating,
yeah.
not playing ball.
But let me just say this, and we'll get to AMA. I watched that Lakers game last night, for what it's worth. I mean, LeBron's still amazing. Anthony Davis is amazing. The Lakers might not win the title. They might not get to the finals. We'll see. It won't be because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. The rest of their team stinks. Stinks. Russell Westbrook stinks. Rondo stinks. They all stink, okay? The other guys matter. And I just wish that Embiid had a little bit more presence yesterday to recognize, let me take a breath and let me understand that whether it's the use of Ben or the trade of Ben, getting other people to help me matters to try to win the title. And I think Embiid let his emotions get away from him yesterday, and I think he hurt the situation. I really believe that. All right, let's get to AMA. We do it normally on Wednesdays at noon. In this case, Wednesday at this time, because at noon, Spike Eskin joins us. AMA right now is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. All right, AMA, questions from Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. James Seltzer, what do inquiring minds want to know?
Yeah, let's start off with a fun one. Alexander Archidiacono on Facebook asks, what is your favorite drop since the show began?
You know, I'm still partial to the Misha Johnson one. I just
wow, already heard it.
We heard
show.
It today.
I love him as family.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like the one when she talks about my cocky bone.
That's a good one
you
too.
Got that one?
I can pull it off.
Yeah, the cocky bone. I like the. I mean, that was like when the drops began. That was about 4 years ago. That was a long time ago. John, what's your favorite drop?
Can a drop be the chicken thing?
That's not a drop. That's an extended piece of audio.
I mean, we got some old school ones like.
Did it fold?
I actually appreciate that.
Show.
I think it was too.
Yeah,
and
was.
I appreciate that one. Joe, I think Joe was like defending me in that one. And I couldn't believe the sound he was making at the time. And I'm still pretty impressed. I mean, it's very George Thorogood.
Yeah,
of you.
It's something.
You did a good job on that.
I mean, here's the Misha one.
Yeah.
Weird. That's the first time I thought, wow, he's got a little cocky bone in you too, don't you?
I do.
We've had some recent good ones too. I mean, obviously we got a lot.
Bang!
Yeah.
Oh, shut his hole. That is damn impressive.
Sure is. Hey, I'll say that Beat the Hammer, I do relish those moments where he's feeling victorious.
Even though you've rooted against me?
That's what you do!
Yeah, I look forward to that just to see where you'll go because, I mean, it's deathly silent.
What do you got to say for yourself, little chump?
Deathly silent. Jimmy and I are just looking at you and you're
just waiting.
Frolicking.
Hey, I'm
and
back
up there!
I'm competitive.
Like that!
Okay. This one.
Doug! Ben Peterson! Yeah, baby! yeah!
I mean, these are all fun. We all know the correct answer, though, is the greatest drop in the history of the show.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888. I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
Unassailable.
Hey, our football team won. I got emotional. What can I tell
blame
you?
I
they like won the Super Bowl, you know.
They did. You're damp, Joe.
Thank you,
all right.
Sir.
Good question from Bad News 80 on Twitter. He asks, do you guys collect anything? And if so, what's your favorite thing? We don't really ever get into collecting stuff.
I did as a baseball cards growing up, but nothing since.
I collected baseball and football cards. I collected comic books. I was really into. I had a subscription, I told you, to The Incredible Hulk and Spider-Man. And so delivered right to my mailbox for a while, like back in the late 70s, early 80s. So I have a good stack.
My mom asked a group text message on our family text thread the other day. She said, "Hey, do one of you have a Mickey Mantle rookie card?" I think she had seen something. I think she had seen something on TV about.
Sure,
you
Ma.
Know. I'm like, Ma.
Got three of them. Mickey
Mom, if we had a Mickey Mantle rookie card, number one, I wouldn't be working. Number two, you would know about it. You wouldn't have to ask.
Yeah. I would tell you every day that I had it.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Good one from John's former teammate, Coy Detmer. Not the real Coy Detmer.
No.
Coy Detmer on Twitter asks, if Joe or John were in the same room with Ben Simmons for a Philly media event, what would they say to him? Well, would John crush his face?
Well, it could be Friday night. I mean, if Ben's there, look, I'm going to be there. So the question is Ben going to be there? So Friday night, you know, first home game, I don't think he's going to play, obviously. But he could be there. He could be on the end of the bench. He could be in the locker room after the game. I look forward to those opportunities. I guess I'd say, like, dude, what the hell, man? What's your problem? I mean, I don't know. There's so much I'd want to say.
Want
to
step outside, Ben?
No, I'd have to have that media hat on. I'd have to have a non-credentioned situation.
I'd say,
do you want to step outside?
I want to know.
I could boo him to his face.
I would walk up to him, just look him in the face, and go, boo.
Yeah, I could do that.
Boo.
Yeah.
I want to know if he shoots baskets. You know, like most people do. Like when you've got a hoop and a ball.
Yeah, I know.
Does he practice like passing off a wall to himself, or like does he?
It's like a ping pong.
Does he rebound for other guys?
And they just hit it to themselves.
I don't know.
Like, passing off the wall.
Right. Does he avoid shooting even then?
Just Ben, do you hate
basketball? Do you ever shoot baskets?
Yeah, I mean, there's like we could ask him 5,000 questions. So you know, all right, James, give us one more.
All right, one more. Hammer and Richie. This question is from Jimmy in Gilbertsville. He says, I'm in the hospital with my wife as she is in labor waiting to give birth.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes. What to this point has been the biggest moment of your life?
Well, my birth. Well, obviously.
I mean, come on.
Well, without the birth, there's nothing else. Biggest moment of my life.
You remember it?
No, that's not what the point. The question was, what to this point has been the biggest moment in your life? The answer is my birth. I mean, go ahead and try to top it. You can't. John, go ahead. I mean, just say your birth.
That's a horrible answer.
That's what it is. It's our birth.
It's not the heart of the question.
Certainly.
You want me to meet my girlfriend? Come on. My birth.
No, I mean,
without my birth, there's nothing else. Facts.
It's one of the worst answers we've ever had.
There's no question that for me, it was the birth of my son.
Okay.
Well,
he's not born unless you're born.
It was Friday. Friday, the 2 days before the NFC Championship game,
yep,
that I was unable to play in, but I was, you know, a part of the preparations. It was a huge deal, of course, you know,
sure,
having your child born, but also just the feeling of that time. Everything was magnified. It was so exciting. We were, you know, winning that game, heading to the Super Bowl. Everything felt like the world was exciting and bright and right.
Very nice. Good stuff, John. And with that, AMA, we shut it down. All right, 215-592-9494. Up ahead, a tweet I saw a couple days ago about pro football in the presentation that I thought was a very astute point. What it is, tell you next. That plus all the phone calls. And Spike Eskin will join us today at noon. His prediction for the 76er season and what a mess he weighs in on the Ben Simmons situation. All that ahead on 94 WIP.
The Park Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Fan. College and pro football, baseball, playoffs, hockey, MMA, soccer, and basketball. It's all there for you. And with live in-game betting, you can bet while you watch. Bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app. Bet on individual player performances as they happen. Like in basketball, bet player points, rebounds, assists. In baseball, bet hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts every inning. In football, bet passing, rushing yards, touchdowns, scorers, and more. Plus, same game. Parlays are always great. Props, teasers, over-unders. And new customers sign up right now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Do it now. Your first bet is risk-free up to $500. And you can put that toward Pro Football Sunday. The Birds are a 3.5-point road underdog at Las Vegas. The over-under is 49.5 points. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code JRWIP. That's JRWIP, and your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. Bet with the best. The Parks Sportsbook app.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Beers and Gears, the craft beer and car show, is back Sunday, October 24th at Delaware Park. Details online at DelawarePark.com. Today's question, barring injury, do you think Jalen Hurts will be the Eagles' starting quarterback all season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll talk to Spike Eskin coming up in about 15 minutes. Let's get to the phones. Also, I want to get to a tweet up ahead here that I saw a few days ago that I thought was a good point about the presentation of pro football. We'll hit that shortly. Let's talk to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Hey, yo, fellas. How are we doing today?
Doing well, Tom.
So this time tomorrow, I will be in the dentist chair getting two teeth extracted and four root canals. And
four?
I'm pretty sure, yeah,
wow.
Four.
Dude.
So I'm pretty sure that's going to be less painful than hearing your opinion on Embiid, Joe.
Well, you just don't want to face facts, Tom. I mean, Tom, what Embiid did yesterday was spit in the strategy that Daryl Morey has carved out.
Okay.
Whether you like the strategy or not, that's what Embiid did.
All right. You want to talk facts?
Sure.
All right. So I just heard you say to a caller that, and correct me if I'm wrong, your main issue with what Embiid said is that he's done with that man and that they haven't talked since his return, and that hurts his trade value because other GMs might not have known that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, well, they might not have known it. Sure, it's possible.
Of course they know it. They knew it when he told everybody to stay in Philly when they were prepared to fly 3,000 miles to appease.
But, Tom,
crybaby.
Ben Simmons had only come back a couple days ago. I mean, is Joel Embiid a leader or is he not a leader? I mean, I'm being honest with you. Is he a leader or is he not? Or is he sort of like a sometimes leader?
No, he's a leader.
Because, Tom, what a leader should do, I'm serious here, what a leader should do when Ben walks back in is approach him and say, hey, I want to talk to you. And then have a conversation. Now, if Ben turns his back to him, then that's new information, and then there you go, and there's nothing you can do about that. But you don't not try. What Joel told reporters yesterday is that he did not talk to Ben Simmons upon Ben coming back.
Yeah, he didn't try.
How do you try if you don't go up to him and say, hey, man, I want to talk to you? I mean, come on.
Yo,
that is not leadership.
By all accounts, the man didn't even look at, respond, or acknowledge to people who hold the door for him, security, anybody in the building.
Well, I've never heard that. It went shocking.
Oh, it was in the Shams article on The Athletic. He walked apparently right by his security guard. It's like, hey, Ben. He walked right by him, didn't say hi, and apparently did that to a bunch of people.
He's walking around like he's the only person on God's green earth. Communication's a two-way street. It's impossible to communicate with someone if they refuse to do it.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. You're right about that. But I would have liked to have seen Joel try. All right, Tom, give me a great movie, Dad.
Okay, real quick, the correct answer to the RPO question, which blew my mind as well, that's an easy one. It's a Roseman-produced offense. So there you have that. as far as a movie, Dad, anytime you're going to stand up to the mafia for your son, I'd say you're one hell of a dad. So I'd go Robert De Niro as Collegial's dad in A Bronx Tale.
That's a really good answer.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, that is really good. And, John, you still have not seen that, or you have?
I've seen it.
Okay, but you hadn't seen it until recently, right?
No, I...
At least saw it like 2 years ago or
maybe
something.
Maybe it was 2 years ago.
Great movie, man.
Yeah.
How about all the trouble that kid got in? Holy hell. Because it was on The Sopranos.
Went to jail.
Sure did go to jail.
It's like manslaughter or something, right?
It was something bad. Whatever the heck it was something bad. All right. What I'm about to get to is not as bad as manslaughter, but it's bad.
Hey.
What?
I just want to refer to what Tom was just talking about. The Shams article.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a quote. For instance, when the 76ers security officials greeted Simmons on Sunday, the three-time All-Star just walked right by him. When others greet him, Simmons typically has given no response. It's not a requirement for Simmons to talk to people inside the facility, but those present say he's been disengaged and not an active participant.
No, it makes sense, and it's not good. It's terrible. I mean, guys, again, nothing I'm saying today is to let Ben off the hook at all, believe me. Joe Banner, he wrote something the other day, John, on Twitter that I thought was right on point, and I've been saying something similar to this for a couple of years now. I'm curious if you and James agree with him and with me. Here's what Banner wrote. Let's see. This was on October 17th. I don't know what day that is. Monday, Sunday, whatever day that was. He wrote, and I so agree with him. He said, there are so few NFL analysts that truly have insights and really add to the thoughtful viewing of a game. Almost ready to add Greg Olsen to that short list. No idea why it is so hard to find more of them. I agree with him 1,000,000%. Why is it that when we watch these games, whether it's on Fox or CBS, because I think Collinsworth does a great job. I know he had a weird game the other day, but for the most part, I think he does a great job. Why is it, John, when they have, you know, the six or seven different crews each network, it's so bland, boring, not particularly insightful, not fun. I mean, I know Madden was the standard when we were growing up, and not everybody can be John Madden, even though for about 15 years there were about five people trying to be John Madden. No one tries to be John Madden anymore, which is good because no one can be John Madden. But why, like, I was watching that Jags game the other day, the morning game, whatever the heck that was, and the announcer and the analyst were discussing with a couple seconds left, you know, like, are they going to, like, a Hail Mary or not? And I'm like, hey, guys, you know what they can do? They can throw a short pass and then kick a field goal. Like, I mean, that didn't, like, they had all this time to discuss it, and it didn't dawn on either of the two announcers they could run a short pass, get down the way, like the way the Eagles did with Alshon in 2017, where they had a short little completion. He got out of bounds with 1 second left, and then Jake Elliott banged in a 61-yard field goal. Like, that didn't dawn on either of the announcers? I just find, John, when I watch every Sunday these games, that the presentation of pro football through the announcers has gone backwards dramatically. And I'll give you one more thing. I think a part
of it's not always the case, though.
It's not always the case, but it's often the case. And I think a part of it is, I swear to God, I think we, the viewer, would be would have a better presentation of the broadcast if the announcer did not talk to the head coach a couple days before the game and did not talk to the quarterback a couple days before the game. Because I think they are protective of relationships that they have with the quarterback and coach, who they deal with, you know, three or four times a year.
I think that's a big part.
Year after year after year. And yeah. So there's a lack of critical analysis.
Yeah.
They are afraid to have critical analysis. And I feel like we, the viewer, just suffer through these bland, boring, garbage presentations. John, James, your thoughts?
I think that's a big part of it, not wanting to burn those bridges, that you're going to end up seeing that coach again in, you know, 5 weeks when you're back in town. So that is part of it. But you know,
if guys want to work in the league again too.
That's part of it too.
So. I don't remember specifics, but I remember thinking Greg Olsen said some interesting things. I mean, I didn't think he was great, but I enjoyed some of it.
First time I heard him this year, I liked him. The second and third times, I couldn't stand him.
Wow.
For what it's worth, I'm just telling you, that's, you know, over the last couple of weeks. James, NFL broadcast, are they going downhill?
Yeah, I generally agree for the most part. I think there's some good ones. Look, I know you didn't like him, but I think they need to hire different people. You know, it's always the same type of guy. Like, I thought Aqib Talib, when he did that game, was phenomenal. It was so fun to hear something completely.
There was good and bad.
I mean, you didn't like it as much. But
no, I actually was. You? I was more on the positive side. I mean, it was kind of absurd, but he actually said things
exactly
that were interesting.
Hire people who are willing to say things. Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, when we watched TNT last night, anybody that did, one of the things that came to my mind is, oh, this is great. We got Barkley and Shaq and Kenny and Ernie Johnson back together. We hadn't had them for 6 months. Here we go. 6 months going to be fun. Why? Because they just let it rip. They just say, here's what I think. And they're fun and they're creative. I think there's so many of these other shows on television are so bland and lack critical analysis. Anyway, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. You always get critical analysis with Spike Eskin. He'll join us next. His prediction for the 76ers season and his assessment of this mess with Ben Simmons, that's next on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.